Brought to you by Elder Dan Parker and the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church of Blairs, Virginia. Now, here's Elder Parker.
Good evening, friends. We welcome you to the Primitive Baptist Gospel Hour. I'm Elder Dan Parker, pastor of the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church in Danville, Virginia. We thank the Lord, count it a wonderful blessing and a delight to bring the gospel unto you on this telecast. And we hope that you'll take your Bibles and follow along with us from the teaching of the Scriptures. We invite you to come and be with us anytime at the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church. Our meeting time is every Sunday morning. We begin singing at 10:30 and preaching at 11 o'clock. We will find a warm, cordial, friendly welcome at Afton Road Church. The meeting house is located just off of Franklin Turnpike. If you would like to come, all you have to do is call me and I'll give you the directions. If you would like to talk to me about the things that you hear on this telecast, all you have to do is call me with the number on the screen. If you would like to make a contribution to this broadcast, the address is on the screen, 295 Sweden Falls Lane, Blairs, Virginia, 24527. It is a blessing to come to you by this means. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pause to give thee thanks for thy wonderful grace and mercy. As I declare the unsearchable riches at this time, blessed to the hearts of thy people. And as we look into thy word, and as we expound thy word, may they be blessed to understand what they hear, and look and study and pray for themselves of that which is set before them. We ask, O Father, that thou bless the gospel, not only tonight, but every time that it is preached. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray, and for his sake, amen. Last Sunday night, I was speaking to you upon the subject of believer's baptism, and I want to continue that subject of believer's baptism. And I might just rehearse a few things that I brought to your attention last Sunday night. In the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 15, we find there where that the Lord told his disciples, or commanded them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so it was to be preached into all the known world. Verse 15, chapter 16 of Mark, Jesus gives the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And then he talks about all those signs that shall follow them that believe, which I'm not going to get into those signs and wonders and miracles which were given to the early church, and the Holy Spirit was so upon them and with the apostles and certain men that they did things, perform miracles that were given for only a limited period of time in the early church. That is not with us today. But I want to focus our minds upon the command to teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now here is the way that a believer is to be baptized. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Because the believer in God, in the gospel, in the Lord Jesus Christ, believes in the Trinity. There is one true and living God, but there are three characters in the Godhead, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We believe in the Holy Father in heaven. We believe in His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, that He is God, just as much as the Father and the Son, and these three are one. That is a Bible teaching, a Bible doctrine, that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. We believe that the Father worked, and the Father purposed, and the Father designed before the world began to send His only begotten Son into this world, and the Father chose His people in Christ before the world began in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That's who He came into the world to redeem, those that were under the law, those that were sinners, that could not extricate themselves above the law of sin and death. Jesus did it in their behalf. He died, put away their sins, expiated transgression and sin forever. Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, and all the sinners that He died for, the great multitude, the great host, out of all ages, kindreds and tongues and peoples, that people will be in heaven with God, conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the gospel is to be preached to make this known unto God's people, that they might believe, that they might believe the truth of the work of salvation, that they might believe what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. Not only believe who He was, but believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. I'm speaking to many of you tonight that do not believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you contend that the sinner must comply. He must do something in order to be born of God and to make the blood of Jesus effective for him. So you do not believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that there is any condition that the alien sinner, that is those that are dead in sins, can meet in order to be born of God and make the blood of Christ effective to God for them, then you do not believe in the finished work of Christ. And therefore, you are in a degree of unbelief. You see, you don't believe the gospel. A person must believe that Jesus put away his sins upon the cross, and that He did it forever, then and there, upon the cross. And you must believe that salvation by grace is the only way that a person can live with God in heaven. That the Holy Spirit is the one who regenerates, quickens, or raises up the spirit that is dead in sin, the person that is dead in sin, out of that condition. And that the sinner cannot act, he cannot move, he cannot comply until the Holy Spirit quickens him or imparts eternal life or spiritual life to him. There is no condition upon being born of God on the part of the sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear in the third chapter of the Gospel according to John, when He had that discussion with Nicodemus. He says, "Ye must be born again." And He says that a man must be born of water and of the Spirit, or he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the water there is not water baptism. No, He's talking about a work of regeneration, the washing of regeneration. And the water there is figurative or symbolic of the washing of the Holy Spirit in the souls of men. And then He goes farther there, and He says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." So a person must be born of the Spirit, and God does that work without the compliance of the one that is born of the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Everyone is born of the Spirit exactly alike. And God has been doing that work since Adam fell in transgression. But there is something for a born again, a quickened child of God to do in honor and in praise to his Lord and Savior as he travels here in this life. He is to believe the true gospel, and he is to be baptized in water. Who is it that is to be baptized in water? Who is the person that is qualified to be baptized in water? Well, it is the person that is born of God. You see, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So when the gospel is preached and that person that is born of God believes the gospel, then he is to be baptized in water. Last Sunday night, I took you to 1 Peter and the 3rd chapter, speaking about Noah and these 8 souls, Noah and his wife, his 3 sons and their wives. They were saved by water. 8 souls were saved by water. That is, 8 persons were saved by water. How did the water save them? It saved them from being destroyed in the flood by the ark. The same water that destroyed that generation, that old antediluvian world, the same water that destroyed every living thing upon the earth, the fowls of the air and the beast and every human being, that water that destroyed them saved Noah and his family in the ark. There was a separation. There was a destruction of the wicked world, and there was the deliverance of Noah and his family in the ark. They were saved. But did the ark save them for heaven? No. Did the ark save them from hell? No. But the ark is a figure. The ark is a figure of something that is real. And there is a like figure wherein even baptism doth also now save us. This is a now saving. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everywhere in the New Testament that you find men being baptized, those men and those women, those individuals, were already recipients of grace. They were already born of God. They were already prepared to live with God in heaven. You say, well, why was it necessary, or why was it needful for them who believed the gospel to be baptized in water? Well, for the answer of a good conscience toward God. Why, God has given the ordinance to the church for believers to obey in this capacity and this weight in the mode of being baptized. Baptism is for the child of God who believes that he would be obedient unto his Savior and his Lord. It takes 3 things that are necessary for baptism.